As we open our morning worship service, you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. We're about to finish chapter 7, but in case you forgot, I thought I'd start all over again and proceed. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy grace and mercy and kindness. God, deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health and our wealth. God, thank you. Thank you very much for everything, for anything. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're reminded always that he is the last living apostle. He has a very, very special assignment to present God's person and his saving grace, his saving work, in and by the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the process, and that he has made it possible, John 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Lord God is presented, he presents himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of such a special presentation is in chapter 20, hold your finger here, in chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, just reminding us, in John chapter 20. And you would note, please, in verse 29, to Thomas, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hath believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All kinds of things have been given. Thomas, you had special privilege. Many, most, do not. But these 21 chapters in our English Bible, these 21 chapters are given so that they might know you, they might know me, who you pointed to. You said, unless I put my hands in his side, etc. These are written for people like that so that they know who I am, so that they are able to say, in verse 28, my Lord and my God, about who I am. Now, having said that little bit, over to John, the first chapter of John. Remember now, all of history, all of it is about God. God is the Creator, etc., as we shared in Sunday school. And he is the Creator of everything and everyone, everywhere. Without him, nothing is created. And therefore, John, his special penman, the last penman that God will use before he turns and says, I'm all finished writing anything down. So when you come to Revelation 22, 18 and 19, don't add or don't subtract anything. Don't add, don't subtract anything in any way from what I've said. Understand it. There's a big period at the end of it. That's what I'm going to say to you. Pay attention to what I say. who I am. And thus we have the Gospel of John. And John is writing to help us understand the whole drama of history, the wonderful outworking of history, Old Testament and New Testament. As the drama unfolds, history, its purpose. As the drama unfolds, its redemption, its goal, the whole purpose is redemption. To put things back in order that are out of place. To put the world back in order. To put the universe back in order, etc. Now, so God, here we are, and we have the Gospel of John, and so we've been looking at it, and we need to go now and note God, remember, he's looking at the whole thing. So God, what is the real issue here? What is one of the real issues? It's about believing you and understanding who you are. So in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. More than that, the Word was God. Remember that word, verse 14, was the Word made flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Chapter 1, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So in him is life, was life, and the life was the light of men. So God, here you are writing and giving us the information that we need to understand about all of history. We haven't lived it, we just live now. And God, you aren't going to say any more, back to John's day, 100 AD, thereabouts, a little earlier. And John, you aren't going to say anymore, so God, I want to write things down so that anyone down the road, anyone in history, till I come, will know, like Thomas could know, that I am who I am. I died on the cross, and they don't need to see my nail print hands. They don't need to put their hands on my side, in my side. They just need to believe that all of history and all that I've done in my person and work on Calvary's cross is sufficient. I'm not going to do anything else. What you need to do is what always people have needed to do, is to believe. That's all. Now, with that in mind, John, over, if you would please, to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, picking up if I can, God writes, remember now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, no one has a Bible. They have God. They have God. God's everywhere to do what he does to any heart that would seek him. And God did what he did in a most wonderful way with Job and everyone else. Wow. Now, so when Abraham, God comes, and out of it comes, of course, the line of Moses comes in into focus. And Moses, you're going to deal with us? How are you going to deal with us? At Mount Sinai, on the mountains, I'm going to instruct and introduce myself. And then you're going to go, Moses, and introduce yourself to Pharaoh, and introduce me to Pharaoh by you. And then you're going to go, Moses, and take the people of Israel and introduce them to me as a nation at Mount Sinai. That's what you're going to do. Then, what I'm going to do, Moses, since I'm not going to do this anymore like this, I'm going to go and have you write. And so everything that was happened way back here, Moses, I want you to sit down. You're trained. You're a pharaoh of pharaohs, as it were, having all the training of a pharaoh. And so therefore, you're able to go and write and read and understand and have the ability. And so I'm going to have you write. You're going to be my penmen, like the Apostle John, and you're going to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, what are you going to write, Moses? Well, God had me write about the beginning. I mean, because no one was there in the beginning, and so God said, no one will understand unless I tell you. Now, John, back to John, what are you going to do, John? John says, I'm telling you about God, the wonderful person of God. You need to believe him. Now, so where are you going to go? Back in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, nothingness, emptiness, desolateness. The earth was without form and void. It has to do with being empty, waste, hollow. So we have looseness and emptiness. That's what we have. Void, without form and void. We have nothing, just out there. And upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, hovered as the master creator upon the face of the waters. And God said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, notice in verse 2, though, the earth, how did you start? God, how did you start the whole process? Without form, nothingness, loose, unconnected, and void, emptiness, waste, hollowness. You took nothing, and when you looked at that, all you could see is darkness. What is darkness? Nothingness. Chaos. That is, it's nothing. Now, why would you do that? Who's watching all this? Well, the angels, the good guys and the bad guys are all looking. God, what are you doing in the middle of God? There are no stars or anything. What are you going to do, God? You're going to go and put out there a little ball. You're going to put out there a little ball, and all we're going to see out there as we look is what? Darkness. Nothingness. Nothingness in the light of who you are. Right. Nothingness. Darkness. That's what you did. So, angels, what is your first educating, what is the first class you go to in creation? That God takes nothing, nothingness, darkness. Because you see, Lucifer fell, son of the morning, the angel of light. He tries to be an angel of light now. He's actually the prince of darkness. So God, here's all the angels that followed him, a lot of them. And what are they going to see? Darkness. What are the good angels going to see? Darkness. What is the lesson? We're all looking, angels, all looking at it. What's the lesson, God? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what it's all about. So here's all the darkness. And God, what are you going to do? In verse 3, we read together, 1-3. Mankind, remember, angels have a need education. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, God, you didn't get rid of the darkness. No, I did. But you took darkness, where there's nothing, and you gave light. You gave light. Darkness and light. And yet the darkness stays, and the light's there. Now, God, we're looking, we're all looking, us angels are looking. Mankind's going to be looking, because that's the sign, you know, it's going to give them. In picking up, if I can, verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God, what'd you do? I made light. And I want you to know, I'm going to, not now, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take the earth and the water and the light, I'm going to do it all over again for you to enlarge it. So you see it, because we're looking. Darkness in this mass and light. So we're looking at it. What's the message? All right, I'm going to do it some more for you. In verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and of the heaven to divide the day from the night, Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for the lights in the let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. God, you did this. I did. So here's all the angels looking. And God, you went and did, here's the darkness and light. And then you go and make all these lights. Wow. Billions of lights. Wow. I'm looking. We're all looking because we're looking. We can do it. We're angels. So now we're looking. And God, here we are. Now, darkness and light. Now, what do we know? Well, God, what do we know? We know that Adam, and you're going to create mankind upon earth. You're going to create them, and they are going to be required to believe. I'm going to give them a right relationship to me in the midst of all of it's there, light and day, so you have a message every day. Could be always light. In the millennial reign of Christ, it's always light. As it were, the sun and darkness, but this God is the light of that part of it. There's still darkness, of course. In the millennium, in the kingdom, there's no light, no darkness at all in the kingdom. The kingdom will be, he's the light. There is no darkness. There is no darkness. But God, there is no darkness with you. No, there isn't. No, there isn't. I am light. In me is no darkness at all. So God, why have we got it there? Well, God gave the day and the night, dark and night, and God made it. And so here humans are created on the sixth day. And on the sixth day, they have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be with God. They know God, and they're not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, day and night, but don't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did, and they did. Did God know that? Absolutely. God did. So God, what did you do? Well, I wanted them to understand the minute they chose to follow darkness, that is to follow Satan's lead, not to believe me, then they would go from light to darkness. And they would need to be, they would enter into sin, and they would have no light at all, no light at all. So God, and you're going to show them, I am. I'm going to show all humans they need to be in the light. Sin makes us in the dark. Sin is the absence of light. It is the opposite of light. It is where light is not admitted. God is light and him no darkness. And light prevails. It always prevails. So I want you to know darkness and light. We could have just had light in the new heaven and new earth. It's always going to be light. No darkness. Well, but now, God, what are we doing? Well, I'm going to help the angels understand what I'm doing. I made it possible for Adam and Eve to have a choice. They made a negative choice in following you. And I knew that. And I also gave them choice that I would provide a wonderful Savior, the seed of the woman, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And I gave Adam and Eve choice. They chose wrong. I gave them another choice, to believe me or not. They had the devil. Do you want to believe him? And they did. Now, I want you to compare. Here's the devil, and here I am. Are you going to believe me? That's what I want to know. So, God, and what happens when we don't believe? Well, we have to cover ourselves and hide from you, because you're light, hang on, and we're darkness. Now, hang on to that. We're darkness. And what, now, hang on. So, over, if you would, please. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Over to 1 John, again. John, what are you following? I'm following what God started with in the first place, darkness and light. It's all about that. It's all about believing. It's all about who I am. So now over in John chapter 1, picking up if I can, in John chapter 1, picking up in verse 9. In verse 9. I got a verse 5 I want to remind you and myself. John 1, 5. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness is still there, but light is shining in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. And you'll remember when we did it, the word, the verb, comprehend, to overcome, to seize, to take power, to have power over, to seize, to dominate, to rule. Darkness could not overcome, could not overpower, was not able to do a thing about the light. It wanted to, but it couldn't do a thing about the light. All the darkness in the world can't put out that light. But it wants to. Hang on now. God, you did. You had a wonderful way to help humanity understand day and night. We don't have to have it, but we do. And darkness. But darkness isn't like that, he said. Darkness is a heart problem. A personal problem. But I'm going to show it to you, like you read in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the night and the day showeth his handiwork. God, you have a wonderful message. I do. I know how to get messages. I get flowers and everything. And you, by the way, you're better than a flower. How would you know how good you are? Well, when you look at the flowers. Beautiful flowers. All kinds of flowers. All beautiful ones. You're better than flowers. You're more than flowers. You see? God, you made all these things. Why? So we pay attention. I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you. Creation helps you. If you pay attention, you learn a lot. And you understand about yourself. Darkness and light. All right, John. The light is shining in darkness, and it comprehended it not. The same came, verse 7, John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. They might believe. John the Baptist is pointing to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was not that light. No, he wasn't God. John the Baptist was just pointing to God in Christ, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, what do we know? Darkness and light, and the devil and the angels are looking, and humans are there in the middle of it. What about humans? Why do they need to see this? And they're part of this wonderful exercise of God. Verse 9, there was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was the light of the world, but they, in darkness, they didn't know him. They didn't know him. They couldn't see him. They couldn't understand him. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 10. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So what have we got? Well, he came into the world, light, in the darkness. Yes, he's the light of the world. And light prevails. You can't do a thing about it, except wish it would go away. And the world knew him not. They didn't know. In the darkness, blindness, they couldn't understand at all. And the Jewish people, who should have recognized and realized who he was, they did not receive him. So here is light, and why is it that light has come in? You can't get rid of the light. So what do we want to do? Well, what do we do with light? Over, please, if you would, while you're here in John. Over to chapter 3. We'll add to that. All I'm trying to do is help you understand the Gospel of John in a nutshell. It's all about believing who he is. And the great issue is you've got to go from darkness to light. You have to do. You're born in darkness and sin and death. You need to get to life and light. Now, John chapter 3, as you would know and expect, verse 19, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And that come into the world, light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness can't get rid of it. And the men loved darkness rather than light. That's why the world doesn't know. We don't want light. We don't want light because we love darkness. Open your eyes. I will not open my eyes because their deeds were evil. They don't want to have light. Light reveals. Night conceals. Light reveals. Darkness conceals. Now, and thus, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, wants to know reality, truth, cometh to the light, so that his deeds, works, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So God, I want to get to the place where I understand the good things that light makes possible, that darkness keeps me from ever knowing. So we love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. Now, over to Romans chapter 1. In Romans and chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, is manifest in, where? In them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, the flowers, bugs, birds, stars, moon, darkness, night, all of it's there, message, everywhere. Because that when they knew God, verse 20, and clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, verse 20, even his eternal power and his Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. So is there evolution? What is it? No, God. God makes himself known. He's a God. He's the God of light. You need light. You need to be saved. God, you're going to make everyone know who you are. I am. There's no one born on planet Earth that doesn't know. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, here they are looking, and in the process, knowing God's person. There's no question. But we don't want to know God's person. So therefore, we came into the world, and the world knew him not, and the Jews wouldn't receive him. They didn't want to receive him, understandably. He was light, and they loved darkness. Now, over to chapter 2 of Romans, and in verse 14, adding to this, 2 and 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. In other words, I know what's good and bad, and I live in the middle of the super-duper jungle somewhere, and I never had anything in modern society, but I know good and bad, and right and wrong. I know it in my gut. And I never had any exposure to the Ten Commandments or anything. I just know it. People know right and wrong. So you don't want to say, well, the kid didn't know, the girl didn't know. Wrong. They did know. And they choose not to follow their conscience to help them. So don't say they didn't know. People use that expression. You know, how can they ever know? They didn't know whether they were a boy or a girl. Okay, come on. That's silly. Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 14. At the end of the verse, having not the law, our law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing, and or else excusing, either they're trying to go and accuse, like straw. That's the reason. The guilt, you did that to me, you did that to me, you did that to me. Or we're looking for excuses of why we're like we are and why we don't get light. Why are we like we are? We don't want to be other than what we are. And what do we know from Isaiah 5 and verse 20, among other things? Then, what do humans do? You, very old. Woe unto them that call good what? Evil and evil good. That call darkness light and light darkness. That call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. What do? We played a word game. A little game in our head so that we turn it around. So here's the world. Now why does the world be so consistent? It's in darkness. So everyone in the whole world, all 7 billion plus of us, are in darkness apart from God's grace. And we're all going to think human, feel human, and rationalize human, subjectively, etc., etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that little bit in mind, God and angels observe. Are you observing? Uh-huh. We are. We are looking. And here is our humans. Here's Jews, unbelieving. Gentiles, unbelieving. And the angels are glad. But they aren't. They already know better. They know better. They know. You can't tell an angel or the devil that there's no God, because every angel, the good guys and the bad guys, know this God. See, you don't pull anything off with them. You can do it with humans. You can't do it with angels. You can't play the game with them. They already know. So now, having said that little bit and thinking, angels observing and they're paying attention, and the Israel has rejected, as we said, God's grace. And the heart of humans is rejecting and rebelling against God. They don't want to have any light. They don't want to know light. They don't want to see light. And over, if you would, to pick up the thought, over to 2 Corinthians. God, you did all of these wonderful things if we just pay attention. But we don't want to pay attention. And that's why it's hard, I think, for anyone that does real study on anything, any subject, no matter what your subject is. You would have to come up with the marvel of any subject as you study through the microscope what's on this piece of wood. And if you studied it with a bigger, bigger microscope, you're going to say, wow! Everything says there's God. But we don't want to listen. We don't want to, darkness loves darkness. And we don't want to have to do it that way. That's why we go to all the systems out there. Evolution, Freudian psychology, communism, humanism. Why have we got it out there? So in order we don't have to think about it. We don't have to think about it. Wow. And it's easy. Yeah, I'm an evolutionist. What's that mean? Well, you don't really believe you're an it, do you? Do you believe you're an it, an overgrown chemical reaction? You're a piece of... That's why you know all these things anyway. You know that. Why could Russia kill millions of people? Communism. Millions. Not thousands. Millions. I just heard the other day somewhere, I forgot what country it is, they said they had killed 8 million, 7 or 8 million people already have killed them. How can you do that? If I know you're nothing but an overgrown accident, a freak, you're nothing, a leaf. We get rid of leaves, we can burn them. We get rid of people just like that. Just like that. Because they're nothing. They're nothing at all. And we can get rid of them. That's why they can do it. That's why you can do it. If that's all you are is nothing, what did you lose? Nothing. It's true, you can't go to work, you can't cook my dinner anymore, but hey, you're nothing. Nothing at all. That's the world. And religion isn't helping at all. Now, hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, blinded their thought process, blinded their thought process, blinded the minds of them, and then you want to have a little mental note, they don't believe. If you don't believe, the devil has his way. You can't be deceived if you're believing. But if you're not believing, you can easily be deceived. Easy. Here's my eyes. Now, when I'm looking here, here's the color chart. And I got the hymnal. And I'm able to say the hymnal is red or whatever the color is. It is. That's red. But you know, if I close my eyes and you put something in front of me, can I tell you the color of it? Could I even guess? If I didn't even know the colors, I couldn't even begin to guess. Indigo, violet, I don't know. I wouldn't know. So when I'm blind, the devil, the minute I don't believe, I'm blinded. And I'm easily deceived about anything. Aren't I? What's to keep me? Nothing. I'm in the dark. And then I talk to other people, but they're in the dark too. So no one really cares. Did you ever notice religion after religion? They don't bother with each other. They each do what they do to try to get the biggest piece of the pie or whatever they're after. And they do it. They aren't after that. They don't have a problem. It's with God and with the Bible. And God, the God of this world, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, what did you do it for? So if I don't believe, you don't believe, and if I don't believe, now you got me. I'm part of your system. That's right. And lest the light, if I believe, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, if I'm believing. And what are you going to do, Paul? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Why? Why do I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the light of the world. What's the Gospel of John about? He's the light. He's the one. It's all about him. You want darkness? There's the devil over here, and here's Christ and God over here. Now take your pick. You got to go to one, you're in one place, you got to get to the other. And the Gospel of John is to help me what? Believe. Why? Because if I don't believe, I'm blinded. I don't care if you're a Christian, you get carnal. What do you think carnal is and all of that? Fleshly. You want seeing. You want paying attention. And you're missing out. And anyone can pull anything off they want. And who cares? No one cares. We love darkness. We don't want light. Ah. Now. So God, verse 6, 4, 6. For God hath commanded the light to shine out from where? Out of darkness. Why do you want the light to shine out of darkness? Where do you want it to go? The light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, that's why they wouldn't receive, they wouldn't believe, to receive him as your Savior. Well, he's the light of the world. Darkness to come into my light? Light to come into my darkness, I should say? No, I don't want that. Because then it exposes me. That's right, it does. And I like to excuse and accuse to keep myself from being discovered. And I like blindness because then I don't have to be objective. I don't have to think that I'm really a rotten sinner, saved, lost, hellbound. I don't want to think that. That's not a nice thought to think about. I'm trying to think of getting a raise or school or something else. No, I don't want to do that. I want to watch a football game. I'm not interested in the other. See? Wow. So now, God, you shined out of darkness into our hearts. That's right. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. For what? To give the light of what? Of the knowledge of the glory of God. So I need to know God. That's correct. And where am I going to know God? Where am I going to see God? Where am I going to find God? In the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Light shined in the darkness. Out of the darkness. The darkness comprehended it. It couldn't stop it. So when you're looking, you'd say, well, I wish God would go away. I wish the Bible, and they're going to try. That's what's happening now with the tribulation and everything. It's just to get it all coming up. It's to get it all in darkness. So we don't have to think about the light. But you know, when there's no light, boy, that's bad news. No light. No light. No. I want darkness. Do you really? Do you really want darkness? You see? God said that's the absence of life. It's the absence, and it's the position of death. So God, here we are looking. And God, we're looking that you'd deal with our heads and our hearts. And we're going to go, and we're going to look to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive him as our Lord and Savior. He's the light of the world. He brings light into the heart. And that's why, by the way, when you get saved, you have no idea what sin is till you get saved. You have no idea. You're blind. You're told you're a sinner. You're going to suffer. You're suffering the consequences of sin, sorrow, suffering, death. You're paying the price, disease and everything everywhere, war, rumors, all this stuff. So we're having that, but we can't see. We can't see. We need to see. We need to see. We need to understand God. So God, when you come into our heart, I understand. Light lights my little heart, and I see what I never saw. I didn't understand rebellion. I didn't understand revolt. I didn't understand unbelief. I didn't understand it at all. It's till I got saved. And then I could see the human heart, my own heart. I could see, S-E-E, I could see my own heart in the L-I-G-H-T. I could see it in the light. I could never see it. I was always dark, always in a dark. I'm in a dark room. I don't have any light. A light. And remember what God does for the believing heart, Ephesians 1:18. He lightens the mind. He gives light in the mind. What do you read in 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 4? The God of this world hath blinded the minds, M-I-N-D-S, minds, your thought process. And so, God, we're looking to you, and I see what I never saw. And as I grow, I realize how sinful we are. And that's what Paul would say. You know all the examples. Paul would say, listen, I'm the chief of sinners. But he never said that in the beginning. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the saints. But least of the apostles, least of the saints. But Paul, are you going to grow? I am. And you know what? I realize I'm the chief of sinners. And if God could save me, he can save anybody. But you have to see that. Otherwise, you'll never say it and appreciate. In me dwelleth no good thing. That's a wonderful thing. What do you mean? You're seeing what you ought to see. Darkness covers it, conceals it. I can't see. God, John, the Gospel of John is written so you can know him, and knowing him, you'll see. You got to believe. I don't want to believe. I want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. You got to believe. I want to think and write a book about it. Believe. Believe. Just believe. Hear me. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. Now, having said that little bit, and remember, in the Gospel of John, you have all the signs and all the miracles taking place. And they have sign after sign after sign. And they look at the miracle. They give miracles and all. And they're looking to see if they could understand. And God said, I'm doing all this to get your attention. They aren't going to save you. But would you pay attention to where the miracles are coming from? Would you pay attention from my words? My words are the words of the Father. My works that I do are the works of the Father. Would you pay attention? Anyone paying attention? Boy, God, we love darkness. And we want to call darkness light and light darkness so we can get away with it. Over, if you would, please. Over in, for time's sake. Over to 1 John. The first epistle of John. John's a wonderful thing to help us, to give light to us so we can see. And you would know, 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What is that? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't have him and have darkness. You can't be trusting him and have darkness. If you're really believing, you're really trusting, then you have light. That's all. Really, really do it. Believe. I believe. God, help me. Help me. It will. So I don't have darkness, but when I don't believe, I have darkness. It's the way it is. Wow. So now, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what are we going to do? Remember, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 8, verse 9, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God said, you're darkness, I'm light. You want to get light in the darkness for what? To see yourself. To see what I've saved, who I saved. It isn't to see you look wonderful. No. You needed to be saved, and you don't realize you need to be saved until I help you see that you need to be saved, and then you enjoy being saved because you know you need to be saved. Did that come out all right? You know you're saved because you need to be saved. And you always know you need to be saved. You always know you need a Savior. There's no way around it. Wow. That's a wonderful thing. It is. It isn't a bad thing. It's the reality. And God, so here's the light and the darkness. And if I walk with you, there is no darkness. So I'd be stupid to say, well, I'm a hero, a good person. No, on the contrary, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so are you, if you're saved. And here we are moving down the corridor of time. And we enjoy light, 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 light. We enjoy the light. God makes light for us. So now, in closing, over to chapter 5. All of this, John, here's John the writer, writing his epistle. John chapter 5. Picking up, please, if I can, in verse 20. And we know that the Son, 5 and 20. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. What's that? That we may know him, that's him, our Lord, that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. So here we are finding ourselves, new creatures in Christ, And this relationship, verse 20, is the true God and eternal life. So God, here you are, and I'm able to know you in a unique way in the person of Jesus Christ. I received him as my Savior. He's in my heart, and I'm found in the middle of your light. So God, all of my darkness is revealed. And why do I want it revealed? Because I understand when you died on the cross, you paid the penalty for every word, thought, and deed from the day I was born until the day I die. You paid the penalty. I owe you, God. I owe you. So there's no sin going to pop up to discourage, to depress, to deplete that I don't understand. You have taken care of it in the cross. And I'll know that as I walk in the light and the light shines on that sin. And I know that is forgiven in the light. In the darkness, whoa, but not in the light. Now, and so God, you've done something wonderful, and you know, like in Colossians 1:13 and that, God, you have saved us from darkness. You have saved us from the power of darkness. And I wish I could, I don't have time to get into that. I will someplace else. The power of, do you know that power? Darkness has huge power. Because the one behind it is the devil. Wow. Do you know, there was a little story about a cave down under the ground and the sun. And you remember that once the cave lived underground, all its whole life was born under, it lives underground. And the cave was reported, and the cave came along and heard a message that there was a sun up above, and that the sun was the open invitation for anyone to come to the sun up above. And so the cave said, no, there is no sun, there is no nothing like that, only darkness. And so the cave proceeded year after year, year after year, day after day, job, home, work, school. The cave kept going down to the dark, and the sun said, come on and look to me. I'm the sun. I'm able to give you light. And darkness said, there is no light. The light is the best we have from Northeast Utilities. That's it. Wow. Wow. So now, but one day, the cave got a little excited about things and worried about things and hoping about things. And he said, well, I think I'll go up and see what this invitation is. So the cave left the downward cave, as it were, and went up to see the sun. And the cave said, come with me. The sun said first, sun said, come up here and you'll see the light. And when the cave went up, all it was light. Every place where the sun was light, light. There was no darkness up there. So the cave said, as people do, come on down to my place and I'll show you darkness. So the sun took the invitation and went down into the cave. And when the sun went down into the cave said, come see my darkness. Well, the sun went down and entered the cave. And you know, you couldn't find the darkness. You couldn't find it. Why not? It's the same cave because the light is there. And when there's light, there is no darkness. See? We walk in the light. How? By resting and believing. That's all. Not because we're pure or perfect. No, we're on the contrary. That's what we aren't. But light brings to the forefront an understanding. I see, I understand. Are you the only God? Absolutely. Did you make the flowers? Absolutely. Are you the only Savior? Absolutely. God, have I? You said you were the. You have vindicated and given yourself, and the Gospel of John. You have made it very clear, without any explanation needed. If I just had that, I would know your God. And all you asked of me is to believe. And when I believed and received, my darkness was no more. And I didn't have to kid myself about anything or anyone, work, home, school, or play. I didn't have to play the games that people do, hypocrites and all of that. I didn't have to play any of those games. I see myself as I am. God, thank you. Thank you very much. What a wonderful privilege it is to see myself as I am. And to see you, God. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for the grace and mercy and kindness and the little bit. God, help us. Thank you for John and what you did with him and through him. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read it and moved again and again in all kinds of ways to understand who you are and what you've done for us on Calvary's cross, that we should be marvelously transformed, marvelously transported from darkness to light. God, thank you very, very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, may they truly understand they need to know you as their Lord and Savior in order to know you so that light and the right can come to them, into their heart, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.